Ernie Faulkner, Reel 2. Ernie, you were just telling me about life in the city in the 1930s.
Yes. As I say, I got to know the banks, they got to know me regularly. And so I started taking the job right to the outbreak of the war. Just prior to the outbreak of the war, I think it was about February 1939, you all just come out, all over the age 20, had to do 6 months military service, see? Well, I could call up right away. I did mean military service. I finished up going down to Tottenham, Mayfair, if they call it now, and we had a medical, you pass your fit, and then, yeah, you had to wait, was called up, the militia it was called. The first contingent was called up in July. I was in the next lot, I was called up in when the war broke out, you know. And I'd done me 6 months training in the Devons, you know.
Before you knew that, had you had any idea that the war was coming?
Oh, yes. It was on the cards, yes. So, all these political demonstrations, you knew it was going to come because the Nazis was taken all over the countries. And when Neville Chamberlain, on a Saturday morning, it was Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, I was indoors, and he spoke on the radio that Britain's declared war on Germany and invading Poland, you see. So I thought it wouldn't be long before I was, you know, called up.
How did you feel about the outbreak of war?
Well, it had to come. It's like everything else. It's your country, you've got to defend it. You know, that's always how I looked at it. You know, you got called up, well, you just take things as they come, one day at a time. And as I say, I got called up, I was told to report down to Exeter, join the Devonshire Regiment. I've never been down to Devon before, but I don't think I've done a bit of job.
How did you get down there?
The day I got called up, we had to go report to Paddington Station, and the whole of the platform's chock-a-block with people who got called up, all Londoners, and we got on the trains, and next thing we knew, got off at Exeter, and the other half got off at Plymouth, all Londoners. I always have a joke with my mates, I say, well, they dropped all the cream off at Exeter, all the rubbish went down to Plymouth. Only a joke. Well, you have to have a laugh at the joke, this world ain't worth it, be a dull life.
So you had no choice of which unit you were going to in the militia?
No, you just had to join up what they put you in. They said, you've got to report to High Barracks Exeter, join the Devonshire Regiment. Report at Paddington Station, and I think it was 10 o'clock, I think. And when I got there, crossing London in them days, the whole of the platforms were full of people like myself, all 20-year-olds, got called up, the militia. And as I say, we landed there in Devon and arrived at Exeter. And I thoroughly enjoyed it, you know.
So what happened? You reported, you got off the train at Exeter. Mm. Were you met by anybody?
Oh, yeah, somebody met us. And the sergeant all in, he said, you know, checked it, know what all the commands is all about, you know. And yeah, we just marched along in civvies and that, and we finished up at Higher Barracks in Exeter. And we got in there and they put us all in different groups. They called your names out first, alphabetical order, and they said, you report this one, this hut. We'd be put in huts. I remember I was put in hut 14, you know. Had about 20 people in sleeping in there, and that was your home, like hut 14. And everything you did in the hat, you know, writing letters, and you were showing what the army was all about, to make your bed, polish your ship boots and put your patties on, because them days we had long patties, you know, to put your patties on your legs, you know.
How'd you do that?
Well, you had to finish up the end of it, the patty, and then you roped it round like a piece of ribbon, like round it, tucked it in, then you put the turn up your trousers over it, you know.
So who was teaching you all this?
All old reservists, funny enough, they all come back from India. All the instructors, all old soldiers, you know, and very disciplined, and they had made the instructors, and they put us through training and everything, you know.
Can you remember any of them?
Yes, I remember. The first major was Major Parnell. The RSM wasn't Jerry Lowe. Jerry Lowe was in the future RSM, and he was an old soldier. And he knew how to play the trumpet, but very disciplined. And I can't think of the first one. I could see him now, you know. But the first sergeant I had was an ex-territorial sergeant. Sergeant Daniel, his name was. Then we had a corporal named Wiggy Bennett, Wiggy, and
why was he called Wiggy?
It's a nickname in the army, isn't it? They all got nicknames somehow or other, like Smudger Smith and Blanco White and all that, all nicknames. And as I say, when you sit down at the table and say, right, you could sit still. And the 2 minutes at the end, they had to dish your dinner up, and what it is, you know, you just took what came.
So you just arrived in the barracks, and you were allocated to Hut 14. Were you still in your civvies that first night?
Oh, yes, yes. You got these uniforms, they showed you exactly how to dress properly, you know. Just in them days, I had a peak cap and tunic and turn up to shorts and that. It shows you how to fold your uniform up, you know, everything.
So you were wearing the pre-war kit. Yes, you hadn't been issued with battle dress at that time.
Yes, yes. Because the battle dress had only just come out, I think, beginning the war. That I didn't get issued with a battle dress, funny enough.
So what date had you actually gone down to Devon?
16th of October, I had to report there. Yes, 39, 16th of October.
And on those first few days, can you remember what happened, you know, the second morning that you woke up? What was your kind of day like?
The bugle, you hear the bugle going, the valley, at 6 o'clock. And you had to get up, make a bed, fold your blankets up, as they showed you, your biscuits, like three biscuits you had, they called them biscuits, one on the top, you had to fold your blankets up, and we didn't have sheets, well I didn't have any sheets, but they did issue sheets out later on, you know, and you went down to the ablution, washed, shaved, if you could shave, you know. And cleaned your teeth, and you was all ready, you know, waiting for the next bugle to go, and that was time for your breakfast. And we all go back to the dining hall and see what's coming for breakfast. Porridge. Porridge is a good thing, kept me going. But you just took things as they come, you know.
What would you do after breakfast?
Well, after breakfast, you hurried up because you had to be on parade about 8 o'clock. You had to breakfast like 7, you've got Neddy washing and thing. You had your breakfast at 8, and then you, after that, you've got to prepare to get on parade. And that's when you're in all your drill and things like that, you know, learn about your rifles and brain guns and things like that.
Did you, how did you take to drill, marching and the like?
Well, I enjoyed it, because I used to do it in this orphanage when I was a boy, so I was always doing that with a band. In my band, you learn how to march, you see. And as I say, we had a good band master, and as I say, his son, Vivian Dunn, he took over when he joined the Royal Marines, and I think he's well known. And I think it's all through that train ride in the school, and all about marching, you know, left turn, right, how to salute. And the early days of the war, you had the gas masks before you joined the army, and the wooden cardboard box light. It's to carry the gas mask about wherever you went. And we still had that a couple of months when I joined the army, because you had to wait for the real, you know, respirator and that. That was about gas training and everything, you know.
So when you were learning the drill, you were okay, but what about the other recruits?
A lot of them to suffer. So I was used to wearing boots in the orphanage. It didn't affect me. Even in the summer months, we used to walk about in bare feet in the orphanage. You know, I was already hardened. I was used to it, you see. That's why it didn't affect me, but some of the boys, they did. They never wore boots, you know, a lot of them. And they just suffered with their feet, you know, blisters. It didn't affect me for some reason or other. I was used to it all my life, you see.
So you took to the army life quite quickly?
Yeah.
With a basic drill?
Yeah.
You mentioned training with a rifle. How long did it take before they started to issue you with the rifles?
Oh, only a couple of weeks. Then you got issued with a rifle, and you were shown how to put the sling on, and the magazine. You know, learn everything about the mag, old 10 rounds and 303. And you know how to clean it, keep it slightly greased, you know, brightly.
How do you clean a rifle?
The old issue with what they call 4x2. That's like strips of cloth. It's supposed to be 4 inches by 2. They skip a strip and you put that through the pull, what they call the pull through. It's a cord with a brass thing on the end, and you put that through the barrel, and then you pull the 4x2 through it, and that used to clean it, you see. You learned all that, the breech block and everything, the magazine, the U of the foresight, keep it in line with the U of the backsight, and aim at the central part of the target, that's how we was told.
And what type of targets did you fire at?
Well, when we did, we practiced with blank ammunition, you know. But we go down to the rifle butts at Honiton, the rifle range, and we use a real live ammunition then, you know. And you get to learn where the target was. And the target used to go up, and you had to fire in that 70 seconds, you know. That's it, aim.
What type of shot were you?
I was sitting always at the inners instead of the bullseye, but I passed, didn't I, mate? You know.
And you learnt to fire the Bren gun?
Yes, the Bren. Learned all about the Bren. Made in Czechoslovakia. Bruno, I think his name was. Some name like that. Bren. B-R-E-N was Enfield. That's where it was made. We learnt that. That's why it got the name Enfield, you know, rifle.
So it was a combination of the two names?
That's right, yeah.
So what did you learn to do with the Bren?
Well, we learnt how to fire rapid. you know. You had a magazine on about 20 rounds, I think it was, 1925, and you learn how to unload the magazine, change the barrel, you know, the tripod, fix it on the fix line, things like that on the tripod, buy an aircraft, because in them days, you know, the planes used to come over and you just learn how to aim at these planes if they were near.
Was there a drill for aiming at aircraft?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
What was that?
Aircraft coming, and everybody used to run under some cover of salt and aim at the plane. And when it was near, someone decided to shout out fire, and it was just fire at random.
Did you train with an aircraft?
No, didn't train. We learnt all about different aircraft, you know, the types of aircraft, the German ones, the Messerschmitt, the Ankel, and the British ones, you know, the Spitfire and the Hurricane. Remember all them.
So with your training, did you train with hand grenades at all?
Yeah, you learned all about the hand grenades. Some had a 2-second fuse and some had a 5-second. That's what relied on in Burma, you know, your grenades.
So when you were training, did you throw hand grenades in training?
Oh, you learned how to do that. In fact, you fired it from the rifle. They had a special cup fitted on the top end of the rifle, and you dropped your grenade in. It was detonated, and you dropped it in, and so you learnt to fire, you know, fire the grenade. And
did that damage the rifle at all?
No, this was a specially made iron steel cup fitted on the end of the rifle, like, and you just drop the grenade in and fire, you know.
Did you throw a hand grenade?
Yeah, you don't know how to throw.
And what was the drill for that?
Drill. Everything was done by drill, you know.
What's the drill for hand grenade throwing?
You had it detonated and you had a pouch, you took out the pouch and you held it in your hand, straightforward and like that. You threw it high as you could.
So you threw it overhand?
By hand, yeah. You know, as far as you could to where the target was, you see. well, we relied on them in Burma quite a lot.
And what other types of training did you do, Ernie? Did you do bayonet training?
Yeah, we did bayonet training, yeah. Instead of the dummies, you know, what they called the dummies, and little wooden frame with a dummy in it, and you used to have to charge it. They threw all that time again, they made it run up, charge it, charge the target, you know, how to defend yourself, bang it in, twist it. We went bang it in, twist it like that.
Is that hitting with the butt?
Yeah, hit the butt. Parrying. Parry to the left. And side you say, right, parry to the right. And you say, parry to the left. And that's what you did, you see. Whatever way you went. But it did just get us out of a lot of trouble, we organised in Burma.
Did you train with anything else? Did you train with mortars?
2-inch mortars. Yeah, we learned all about the 2-inch mortars. They had the 3-inch mortars, but the main one was the 2-inch mortar, you know, and we learned how to fire them.
How do you fire a 2-inch mortar?
Well, we used to lay in position, the grenade would go in and, you know, it depends where, how high the target, how high it was, the elevation and the direction, you see. And they got through that all right, the two smolders, but Bowen may use the three smolders, you know.
You mentioned gas training. Did you do gas training?
Yes. Funny enough, I did it all at Exeter Football Ground. We used to go there for our training. We used to have to run up and down the pitch, and then make run up and down the, you know, the steps where
the stands.
Stands. Run up and down with your gas mask on, and that, you know, all that.
Did they train you with gas itself?
Yes, yes. You had your gas mask then, by that time, you know, the real respirators. You've learned all about the gas, the anti-dim, how to clean the glass, you know, the window frames. Yes, you went through that.
So how did
you... You had to take a whiff of gas, you know, but... it was all good practice.
So how did the training go? Would they give you a whiff of gas and then make you go into a room?
That's right, yeah, you went into another room, you know. And, but, prior to that, the old civilian gas mask, you know, the early days, you know. That's what everybody was issued with, you know, before the war. But the real respirators, well, we got to know them, you know. You used to have a haversack in front of your chest and put the gas mask over you. Yeah, you did have a sniff of gas. Then you learned all about the different types of gas, like mustard gas, chlorine gas, and all that. You learned all about that, what was the dangerous one? Because they had it in the First World War, didn't they, all the gas in. So we learned all about that.
How could you tell the difference between the different types of gas?
Well, I don't know. It depends how much you breathe in, I suppose.
So did you do any other type of training?
So many seconds with that on, you know. Bayonet training. Running. All sports, plenty of sports, you know.
What sports did you do?
Well, I used to go for everything, you know. So I like reading about sport. I used to go down the Arsenal as a boy. I was about 14, you know, over Highbury. Walk there, walk back. And a good team in those days. Well, they are today, but...
Did you play football in the army?
Oh, yes, you... You had to do all sorts of, you had to take part. And especially on, I think it was Christmas Day, New Year's Day, the men had to play the officers, you know. The officers would get a team up and the men, and everybody had a go, take it in turn, then they put some new officers on their team, and we'd put new men, it was your turn to have a go then. We played football, hockey. Oh, we was well fit, you know, all that sport kept us going.
So how long did you do your basic training for?
I'd say about 6 months, you know. You went through about a month's training, you learnt so much, and then after 3 months, you were sort of classified, you passed. What grade, you know, and then you continued at that till somebody else came along.
Did you do any kind of tactical exercises within your companies?
Oh, yes. We used to do a lot of night patrols in Devon, you know. It's just the right country for it, Healy and that, and we used to go about night time on these exercises. And you might be the enemy one day, and another day you'd be your own man, and they fire blanks at you, you know. And you just have these referees, umpires, and they'd follow you, and they'd say, you're dead, We just hit him flop down, make out he was dead. All righty. It's favoured down in them, so open country, you know, it's unexpected. And it turned out, same conditions in Burma, part of it, you know. That's why I'm glad I learned it in Burma, because it's the ideal country, the soldier in.
At that stage, did you do any other kind of tactical exercise besides night patrolling? Did you form up in companies and attack points?
Oh yes, you did all that. Yeah. There's one company against another company, and that's what made life, you know. Regards sport or exercises, you know, you've always got involved in something or other. Keep you occupied.
So what was it like in the winter of 1939-1940?
That was a shocking winter. 39. I didn't train, they put me out in billets. Because every eating take came and they went to the barracks, and as you got your train done, you was put in billets, you know, in all over Exeter. And this 1940 was about the coldest year I can remember. And I remember going to this billet. Elderly couple, only an old lady and an old gentleman. They had a big Bible on the table, and I remember the old lady saying to me, "Do you smoke?" I said, "Yes." She said, "That'll help to keep the room warm, won't it?" I said, "I hope so." It's icicle winter's freezing. And I remember running down the open valley, in shorts. Took about to a cold.